Indian food may be a popular cuisine in this country, but not many American home cooks have mastered the art of cooking it. Two new cookbooks aim to change that, and we've invited two experts to join us now. Mata Jaffrey, whose latest cookbook, At Home with Mata Jaffrey, Simple Delectable Dishes from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Sri Lanka, is published by Knopf. I'm very pleased to welcome her back to our show. And then there's an almost encyclopedic tome from Fayadin, the India cookbook, which includes traditional recipes from every region of the country. Chef Sevir Saran of the renowned restaurant Devi is one of its contributors, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome both author and actress Mata Jaffrey and Chef Sevir Saran to our show today. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Hi, Leonard. How are you?
Sevir, you're in West Virginia, Huntington, West Virginia. What are you doing there?
Just adding to the weight of the fattest city of the nation.
Hi, Sevir.
Hi, Madhur. How are you?
Good.
Do you find that people in this country have certain misconceptions about Indian food, Sevir?
Endless. I think, luckily for me, I came at a time when Madhur had already demystified a lot of those, but I think a lot still continue. Am I correct, Madhur?
Yeah, people did. Indian food was curry. Indian food was hot. And Indian food was something cheap that you get at a restaurant and you never make at home.
And it's from one or two areas.
That's right. It was basically North Indian food that was available.
Do Indian restaurants serve the kinds of food that many Indians cook at home?
You know, unfortunately, Leonard, we restaurateurs from India have a lot to blame. I think, you know, people like Madhur have tirelessly done their best to dispel the notion of that, what, as Madhur said, cheap, greasy, ethnic cuisine of India. And I think our restaurateurs of Indian origin have done no service to Indian food. We perpetuated that horrible cuisine that we never eat in our homes, but we eat in America either out of laziness or when we want something cheap and quick and easy and are not expecting magic. Madhur, am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, I think there's Indian home food is like nothing that you get anywhere else.
Now, why do you think that is? Because if you eat French food, it may be fancier than you're going to eat in a French home, but you see real connections between the two, the same in Italy.
Well, I think it has a lot to do with the origins of Indian restaurants. And they were set up originally by people who were not cooks. They had either jumped ship or they were people who didn't speak the language, usually English in this case, and were forced to do something where they could work without knowing the language. And they thought starting a restaurant would be the thing to do. And it didn't matter where they came from. The cuisine they'd Xeroxed and passed on to each other, the menu was the same. It was basically Punjabi, which is from North India. And it never varied. And those same 15, 20 dishes were on every menu. And they were generalized, standardized dishes.
And we saw similar things with Mexican food.
Right.
Until Mexicans started coming here in
exactly.
greater numbers, the same thing happened with Indian food.
And Chinese food. Look mm-hmm. at what, when I came to this country, egg foo young, you know, there was, and Japanese food. Again, when I was in this country, it was sukiyaki, was just coming in. There were very few dishes, Japanese dishes.
Sevir, your restaurant, Devi, is the only Indian restaurant to have earned a Michelin star. Is your menu traditional?
You know, it is and it isn't. It's not what you, as Madhur said, it's not the Xerox page that has traveled across the country and in all the restaurants. We borrowed from many different communities, religions, regions of India, including some that Madhur and I come from. We share the same ancestry. And our food is, I hope and I try to make it different. And we are lucky that not often, but Madhur has come in and smiled when she's eaten. So I'm hoping she's enjoyed her meals. And we borrow from her recipes. I have to be honest that some of her recipes that I've enjoyed eating have made it in some way or the other into our menu. And we keep doing that. We keep changing.
That's very kind of you, Sevir.
Madhur, you know, you made chaat for us at the James Beard House, and it almost had me in tears that it was the flavor of the streets of India coming alive at the James Beard House.
My guess,
and I wish more restaurants would do that.
My guess is Sevir Saran of the restaurant Devi and Mata Jaffrey, who is not only a wonderful actress, but also the author of a number of really the kinds of cookbooks that you need to have if you want to understand what Indian food is all about. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Madhur, your book is kind of encyclopedic as well, and you've included recipes from every country in the Indian subcontinent and even nearby, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, Bangladesh. How much variation is there across that huge area?
Well, there's two things I want to say about the book, and it includes an answer to what you just asked me. People keep saying that Indian food is complicated to make at home. So what I've done in this book, there are simple recipes all over South Asia. And basically what I've done is cover all of South Asia, what is known as South Asia geographically, which is India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka. So I've looked for simple recipes from these areas so that people can make them easily at home, and not on weekends, but on Wednesday or Thursday, they can just go home and make them. And then secondly, what I've done is that I've tried, because I've been cooking for, 50 years now, I've tried to simplify techniques that we use in Indian cooking but that are not absolutely necessary. For example, instead of browning garlic, onion, ginger, spices, then the meat, and then going on with this browning process for 40 minutes, I just marinate the meat. This is what I worked out over the last 20 years. If you marinate the meat in the fridge, leave it overnight, and the next day stick it in the oven while you're watching television or going for a walk, and then let it brown and then cover it and cook it, you'll get the same result.
Of course, you're talking about meat. And
yes, I'm talking about
meat. There are an
meat.
Awful lot of people in this area who don't eat any
well,
meat.
Well, then, India is the best country in the world for vegetables. And vegetables are 99% of the time very simple to make. Very, very simple. So you will find a lot of vegetable recipes in the book. And then beans. People don't eat beans. They grow beans in this country. People don't eat enough of them.
Do we find a lot of similarities between the Hindu and the Muslim cuisines
yeah,
in the era?
Yeah, to answer your question, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh were one country at one time. So there's similarity not in the cuisines, but in the general approach to spices. And also, even when India was India, this large nation, there were regional cuisines. And even though there are splits now, there's Pakistan, there's Bangladesh, the regional aspect holds true. So Punjab, for example, in the northwest, they have a bit of Punjab in Pakistan. We have a bit of Punjab in India. The food is the same. Bangladesh and West Bengal used to be one state, Bengal. The food is the same. Now, whether it's Bangladesh or it's West Bengal, the food is Bengali.
Now, how much of Indian food is influenced by the cuisines of its neighbors, like China and of the former colonial powers in the area, Britain and the Portuguese in Goa?
A little bit. Goan food has perhaps the greatest good influence, which came from the Portuguese. So you find dishes like vindaloo, which if you break it down is wine, vinegar, and garlic, basically. And they have added spices to that in India. So what was a European Portuguese stew, probably, with lots of wine and garlic, became vindaloo.
Now, Sevier, the India cookbook outlines 10 food regions in India, and they're both distinctive and, as Madhur suggests, also linked to each other?
They are. You know, I think our spices, Leonard, keep us quite connected. And what changes is the religious or the socioeconomic background of the people of that particular region. And as Madhur said, you know, we complicate our cuisine. Often, I think chefs and restaurateurs and some authors have tried to give themselves an ego boost by pretending our food is difficult. You know, when you look at the 1.2 billion people of India, their kitchens are very spare. They're very almost humble and modest. And if those people can eat these magnificently layered cuisine day after day, there has to be simplicity at the core. And I think that's what Madhur has brought out in her books, I brought out in mine, this India cookbook does so today in 2010, is the simplicity and amazing, almost pluralistic way of Indian cooking that says everybody can come into the kitchen, cook it easily, work, entertain kids, do homework, and then come to the table, eat together as a family. Yeah. And I think Indian cuisine may be the most friendly for a family.
And I think that if there's one cuisine you can compare it to, it's Italian.
Yeah,
there
because
are great
because of the regional because regional yeah. things are similar at the same time
right.
they're distinctive
and they're different and they're basic things like pasta. Our basic is food is a grain, rice or wheat, and then everything is built around it.
Although I have to tell you that this morning I got an email from a listener who said without knowing what we were going to talk about. I'm tired of only hearing about Indian food as though it was something from the North. People totally ignore the South when they discuss Indian
That's
food.
Right.
Well, how different is the food of an area like Kerala?
Totally different. Totally different. For example, they steam all kinds of noodles. They have steamed noodles. They have wonderful pancakes made out of rice flour. These are things we don't have in the North. Then they cook a lot of fish in banana leaves, which is out of this world.
And beautifully cooked fish.
Say that again, Sabir.
Beautifully cooked fish. You know, when the Southerners and the Bengalis cook fish, they don't kill the fish twice, once when they get it and once when they cook it. They keep it really perfectly cooked.
That's right.
And there's so much to be learned. Madhur hasn't forgotten it. Her books have recipes from all the regions. I think this
and
India cookbook has recipes.
And
well, India has a huge coastline.
A huge coastline, and there's a lot of fish eaten, and you don't see that reflected in the general run of Indian restaurants.
Now, what about, you're also an actress, Madhur, and you've done some films in Bollywood. Is that a whole separate thing? Because if we go to L.A., you know, there are restaurants that just serve the movie business and
That's
all
right.
the money that those people have.
And one of the things that I love to keep note of is what is the food like on a film set?
Mm-hmm.
And the Indian film sets, if you're on a good, proper, full-budget film, is some of the best food I've ever eaten. And the same is true in American films. If you're with a great director, you would sometimes get very, very good food on the film sets.
Leonard, you know, I was just taping an Indian food show, and what shocked me, and Madhur, correct me if I'm wrong, I was one judge on this show, and for me, I had five people taking care of any need I had, and lunch would be said, which restaurant should we get you food from? And they wanted me to pick one or two dishes from several famous restaurants.
It is incredible.
Mike
Nichols' set had very good food, let me tell you.
I'm not surprised. Sivir, the Indian cookbook includes 1,000 recipes. Is it the equivalent of something like The Joy of Cooking here? Well, how to cook everything?
It is, and I think, but it's only a little drop in the pond of recipes from India. I think any person who really wants to do justice to Indian cookery has to buy Madhur's books, the India cookbook. There's so many cookbooks out there. But most importantly, leave it simple. If the book tries to maintain Indian food as being too exotic or too difficult, dump that book. Because our food is very basic.
But what about in India? Because I know in speaking to people from other countries, they're often concerned that the great old traditions, which involved often a lot of labor-intensive cooking, are being lost. You buy everything in a tube. Everything has more sugar in it than it should.
Things change. And I think if my theory, which I expound in this book, is that if India had refrigerators in every home and ovens in every home, they would have developed different techniques. They didn't have them. So they were and coffee machines to grind spices.
Absolutely.
They didn't have them. If you have them, you use them and you take advantage of that and you cook much more easily and much faster. If India didn't grow up with these traditions, and when you have a cuisine that's 5,000 years old, you tend to fall back on old ways, especially if you don't have the new, you know, ingredients and methods to do it. But we do. In America, we do have all this, so we should use them.
And the Indians, Madhur, the Indians of today have changed. My mother's kitchen,
Absolutely.
Which has 14 household staff, now has 6, and the kitchen has 3 of them. And they've streamlined the cooking. They have the KitchenAid. They have the Cuisinart. They have everything you can think of in America.
It is like that now.
Yeah, it's changed. And India of today is living in 2020. The Indians who emigrated here in 1960 are still stuck in the India of 1940. And so India is very modern, very out there. And yes, India also has people who are below the poverty line and living in another world. But the halves of India are living a life very different and eating a cuisine that's at once Indian and at once 21st century.
My guess, finish your thought.
And it's magical. So it's very accessible, very easy, and it's very helpful all at once.
My guests are Chef Sivir Saran of Devi, and he is a contributor to a book called India Cookbook, written by Pushpesh Pant. It has 1,000 recipes published by Fayadin. And also with us again is Madhur Jaffrey, who's been here to talk both about cookbooks in the past and television cook shows,
and
but also movies.
My current book, cookbook, At Home with Madhur Jaffrey, and I'm also with a restaurant called Dawat, D-A-W-A-T.
And we've talked to you about movies as well.
Yes.
So you've been here for a lot of different reasons.
Right.
We'll take a little break and we'll come back with my guests right after this. We're back with Madhur Jaffrey, whose latest cookbook is At Home with Madhur Jaffrey, simple, delectable dishes from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Sri Lanka. It's published by Knopf. And with Chef Suvir Saran of the Michelin-starred restaurant Devi, who is a contributor to a new book called India Cookbook, which is written by Pushpesh Pant and has 1,000 recipes. It's published by Fayadin. One of the concerns I think people would have outside of New York, where they can't go to Curry Hill in the East 20s or to Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn, is where they can get some of these Indian spices and other ingredients. Suvir, you have a farm called American Masala. Are you trying to supply us with some of the things that we might not have otherwise?
You know, at the restaurant, we get a goat from the farm, and I supply eggs to restaurants closer to the farm to practice what I preach, which is buying local and sustainable. The farm has amazing restaurants closer to it, and we give our eggs to them at a loss because they can't pay me the prices New York City chefs would pay me, but I still am helping support a local economy by being smarter about it. Indian ingredients are readily available. The most exotic thing you need in an Indian kitchen are spices, and you can buy them online, you can buy them at the Indian markets, or follow an Indian in a mall or a supermarket and they'll gift them to you. And you freeze them and you have them whenever you want to cook Indian. And it's beyond that, there's no magic to Indian cooking. Our spices and our soul, which is very hospitable and very large and generous and wanting to please others, is the magic of Indian cooking.
Well, Madhur, when you go to Omaha on a book tour, do you find that people can get all the things that...
Mm-hmm. I've been to Omaha on a tour, and they do have.
I went to a
lady's house, and she was growing the curry leaf plant in her own house. And, you know, spices are available, and spices don't spoil. If they're whole, they don't spoil. So they used to travel in the hulls of ships for months and months and months, so they don't spoil if they're whole. You can keep them.
Are spices the key?
The spices are the key, absolutely the key. It's understanding them. It's like paint to a painter. You just have to understand them. But, you know, books explain that to you, that you don't have to sit and understand them. You just use the book, a good book. You use it correctly, and you'll have a great dish.
You know, Leonard, like to say a spice is like the perfect partner that you want to have in life, or that man or woman you're trying to chase after. You invest in them, you indulge them, you spend time with them. Once you know them, once you've married them, you forget about them. But till that point, you have to invest in them. And that's the backbone to Indian cooking. Learn about them, play with them, you burn them, you overcook them, you add too much, you learn from it. Keep that in mind. And once you've done that, it's so easy, our cooking.
Somebody has written a comment on our show page, Tanuja from New Jersey. She said, I recently returned from a trip visiting family in Pune, India, and I thoroughly enjoyed cooking, but even being Indian, have always been afraid to cook Indian food. During this trip, I carefully watched my aunts cook in their homes and asked many questions. I was amazed by how quickly they could whip up simple, yummy dishes. As I was observing and learning the technique, it very quickly made me feel more comfortable to try to cook it in my own kitchen in the United States and made me realize Indian cooking is not a difficult cuisine to cook. I look forward to cooking more dishes.
Well, that's it.
That's what I've done in
my book, is I've just tried to pick those dishes, and there are hundreds of them. I could whip up potatoes for you. Within 10 minutes, I can have a great potato dish, a great cauliflower dish, a great bean dish.
Yes.
You know, like that, within minutes, because it doesn't take time.
Well, there's some things you can't do in a home, like tandoori cooking.
It wasn't cooking to begin with.
Yeah, it's you know, you can approximate it in a hot oven. A tandoor goes up to about 700 degrees Fahrenheit. Our ovens can go up to 550, some of them. So you approximate. You're not getting the full firing power that you would get in a tandoor, but you get some, and it'll take you 10 minutes
and
longer.
And you can broil for a few minutes
yes.
and get the char.
And it's really, really possible.
By the way, we have a number of recipes from both these books on our show page at WNYC.org, so you can check them out for yourself. You mentioned beans. Rice is a major component of all the cuisines.
That's right.
Of all this area?
Of all this area.
Now,
as
most of us think about basmati as the rice of India.
Not true. Basmati is an expensive rice. It's an aromatic rice. It grows in the north. It grows in the foothills of the Himalaya Mountains.
And I love the way it tastes.
And it tastes wonderful, smells wonderful. In the south, they have their own rices. Every area of India has its own rice. And if you think that North Indians can afford basmati on a daily basis, they can't. Use it for special occasions, for festive occasions. Otherwise, they eat long grain rice, but different.
And do you pair different rices with different kinds of dishes?
Absolutely. If you're cooking a biryani or a pilaf, then you know it's a special dish, and you will make that with basmati rice, even in the south. But the South has lovely, lovely short grain rices, some with their red skin still on, and they use that for many, many things. So depending on where you go, if you go to Bangladesh, they will have their own rices, tiny, tiny grains of rice. There's one like that. So it depends on what part of India you are in.
Now, I realize as we are talking that I mispronounce almost every food
That's
word.
That's okay.
And both
it.
Of your names.
We accept that. But can I just say something about what everybody should go and see, which is a film called Today's Special. It's about Indian food, and it's playing in town. So please go see it. It's called Today's Special. I'm in it. I'm acting in it. But that's not why I'm suggesting it. It's about Indian food.
Film.
And it's a romantic comedy, and it's great fun, and it's all about Indian food.
Now, Sivir, in your restaurant, what food do you generally cook? Is it mostly the food from the north, from Delhi?
You know, I'll tell you, Leonard, when you come into Devi and do a tasting menu, Gail Green of New York, when she was with New York Magazine, said it better than I could ever. She said doing the tasting menu paired with wine at Devi is like taking a train tour across the length and breadth of India, and different dishes get summed up with dishes from all over India. There'll be maybe a lamb chop that comes traditionally a tandoori dish from northern India, has potatoes from southern India, a chutney from Kashmir. So even in one plate, there are three regions singing for you. And at my other restaurants, American Masala, which are at Cornell University, Berkeley, and soon at Yale, I'm giving children dishes from the American table from my farm in upstate New York that have dishes from different parts of India. You said, ask something about the influence of other countries to India. We have Chinese influence. We have the British, the Portuguese, the French. My donuts that I put in my second book, American Masala, are being made at the Culinary Institute by Stephen Durfee, the pastry chef of the French Laundry, and he calls them his best ever donuts. So India gave that to me. My grandmother used to make them for my mother. I make them for my guests. So India is so old that sometimes taking older recipes from India, like the India Cookbook does, makes you seem very new and chic, and yet you're cooking something that's 400 or 500 years old. So I think when you delve into Indian cuisine, you're never at a loss for either a fashion statement or a wonderful new discovery.
I was confused by a few of the ingredients. Whitebait is a fish that appears in recipes in both of these books. Sivir, is this available in local fish stores?
You know, it's available at a lot of these specialty stores, and I think also online.
I can get it at my local store.
Yeah.
Can you suggest a substitute?
Yeah, any small, tiny fish, like an anchovy or smelt, or, you know, any small fish will do, or a small sardine will do. But you can get whitebait at my local fish store. I can get it in New York.
You know, we're in New York, and they ship them.
What about some of the other things? Dosa seems rather difficult to make at home.
It's easy, Leonard. All you need is a blender, rice, and beans.
And then,
it's the easiest thing to make.
It's the work of the warm climate that ferments it. And it's really easy.
And ghee, a frequent ingredient in these
I
recipes.
Know you can
make yourself.
That's just clarified butter?
It's just clarified butter. You can buy it. You can get it in any store. I don't use it pretty much because it's high in cholesterol. Mm-hmm. So I don't use it.
No, our parents' generation stopped using it. My mother
uses it for specialty
occasions.
Because they were smart then. They knew not to use it.
And it was expensive. You know, that's what immigrants have done in every immigrant community coming into America, whether it was Italian, Irish, or Indian. They took what was totally debaucherous from their cultures, which was expensive, and when they made money, they started using it without measure. And that's what made us fatter and sicker than any other country in the planet, was the indulgence by the first generation that came into America.
Ghee
is sparingly used in India.
Can you use vegetable oil instead
of
ghee?
Absolutely, and that's what most Indians use. They can't afford ghee, most people in India.
We live on what we used to call postman, which was just rapeseed oil, which is canola.
Now, what about the things that you cook in? If you want to really cook Chinese food, you have to have a wok.
You need nothing.
We love wok.
Nothing. If you have the Indian wok is there. Oh, so
is
if
an
you
Indian
have a
wok like a Chinese wok?
A Chinese wok is like an Indian wok. Let's put it this way, because they originated.
I'm going to bring in some Chinese friends, and we'll have this.
They
discussion.
Originated in India. They did. I can go into that, but I won't right here. It's a long story, but it's true. So they originated in India for a slightly different purpose, because we had iron first before China did.
Yeah, and we had two-handled woks.
Yes, we had two-handled woks, and they were wider, and they were really used for making milk thicker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, to burn it, cook it down.
Indian fudge, milk fudge.
Yeah, to make something like, exactly. So that was the original wok. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
But let it be, need nothing special for
nothing
the Indian cooking other than the desire to cook.
Frying pan will do. Absolutely. And now all the top makers like Allclad, they're making rounded vessels that you can cook in. And that's perfectly good. They act
rondeau,
the same way.
Exactly. The rondeau, the French rondeau,
yes.
Rounded vessel.
Exactly.
It's the backbone of Indian cookery. For Indians, Leonard, even today, often with a two-gas burner, they cook for 100, 150, 200 people.
One burner. People will
one
cook.
Burner.
You know, you go into
the
kitchens
old days,
in India.
One burner, you're right.
They're turning out fantastic meals. And it's wonderful to watch. And people think they have to have the latest gadget.
No,
absolutely not.
Can I ask both of you what part of India you're from, Madhu?
We are very close. I'm from Delhi.
She's a kissing cousin.
You're from the capital.
Yes.
Madhu and I, for all we know, might be related.
Yeah,
we come from a very small community of Kayasthas, which actually at the root we are related.
Yes. If we go back 1,000 years, we probably have the same ancestors.
She's my young cousin.
Well, actually, we're going to do a little DNA testing.
That would be
find
fun.
Find out for sure.
And
was food a big part of your family?
Absolutely.
That's the specialty of our community.
For feasting. You live for feasting. And everyday food was marvelous.
We go to bed asking what would be made for breakfast.
Yeah, absolutely.
We used to say at the table what we wanted. At breakfast, what was going to school for tiffin. And then what was going to be made at lunch when we came back. And then what was going to be made for the afternoon snack after we came back from our games. And then what would be made for tea, which was the pre-dinner cocktails, which was the, you know, the Madhu, you can when you drink and have all the kebabs and everything.
Yeah, kebabs, pakoris, you know, all these fritters of various kinds and kebabs of various kinds to be had with your...
Dawa daru, as they used to call it in our community.
With your whiskey.
Yeah, daru was whiskey, dawa was all these foods. And then that's when you discuss what you wanted to eat for dinner, and it was ongoing. Food was the table was where you talked religion, politics, race, everything, and you never fought because food kept everything civilized.
Did you start cooking professionally in India, or did you wait until you came here?
I came here and I missed the amazing foods of my family and friends. And I didn't have a Madhur in my life that would cook for me. So I had to buy her books and learn how to cook and call my family chef and start cooking. And that's how I got into the
and
food
And I didn't have a Madhur in my life either. And I didn't know how to cook. And
you were an actress first.
Yes, I'm
so
an
how,
act-
did,
I
so
still
how did
am,
the food
yeah.
come in?
Totally by accident. I came first to England and at 20 as a drama student, couldn't cook. I thought, what is this? Where am I going to get food like I had in India? And the restaurants
were terrible.
But England
has better. They're better than they are here? No?
They were terrible. I came in the late 50s. They were terrible.
It's a misconception.
And I couldn't eat that food. It was really rubbish to me.
We never grew up eating that rubbish.
And
I was worried in Cambridge when I saw a restaurant called Gandhi. I thought, that man used to starve himself. Why would anybody want to eat in a restaurant named after that?
Oh, awful. If a restaurant calls himself Gandhi or... or, you know, sitar or these musical instruments for names, you know, it's not anything that's proud to be Indian.
But it's changed in England, too. It has changed. They have very good Indian restaurants now.
Well, the Indians, the English always seem to like the hottest Indian food.
That's right. I mean, the
Vindaloo.
That's right. Hot and cheap was what went with beer originally. But I think they're changing. They've learned a lot. They've learned a lot.
Well, a reminder that there are recipes from both of the books that we've been discussing on our show page at WNYC.org. And the two books are At Home with Mahtar Jaffrey, Simple, Delectable Dishes from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Sri Lanka. It's published by Knopf. How many recipes altogether?
Oh, probably 180 or so.
And 1,000 recipes in, that doesn't mean this is a better book. It just means it,
no,
it's a different
choice.
Kind of book.
It's choice recipes, and they're all simple. That's the whole point of my book.
This is Pushpesh Pant's book with 1,000 recipes from Fiden called India Cookbook. And my great thanks to Chef Sevier Saran, who contributed to that book, for also joining us today for this discussion of Indian food. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Having us.